Now we'll move into item number 15, future meeting planning. This is a discussion. I will open it up for discussion. Yes, Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other day we deferred on the matter of Columbia, C3620. Where do we go from here with meeting with Oregon on trying to get concurrency for a discussion here this morning? And our executive assistant's got a list of, is that distributed, Tammy? This is not on the matter of the agenda item that's coming up later. This is on the remnant discussion of yesterday's, Thursday's joint meeting where there had been some expectations that while we were with Oregon, we were not going to take any action and make any motions or make any decisions on any matters of substance. We were going to look at how to move forward on a process. And we had a discussion about doing it as a committee process or doing it as a commission-to-commission process. So the handout that you'll see that I think is going to be made available to the people in the audience as well just talks about what the pathways are, and it was a little difficult the other day with nothing in writing to follow it. So what you'll see on the first page is first a pathway just to get to concurrency for 2019. And then you'll see a pathway to about a longer term, maybe 5-year or beyond pathway in the second part. We talked about two options. One, using a joint committee process comprised of three commissioners each. I took a look at the calendars because their chair was seemed to be saying quite a bit that he was very interested in having their full commission hear from their three commissioners on a regular basis, and that the full commission needed to be involved, and the full commission needed to end up with a vote. So I looked at the calendar and came up with three possibilities for a joint committee meeting that happened before each of the commission meetings so that the committees could come back and report to the full commission like we always do with our fish and wildlife and committees and the rest of that. It ends in March, which is before the North of Falcon stuff gets going too hot and heavy, and so I think there needs to be some resolution on, for example, the catch sharing in the fall. That's one of the non-compliant areas before North of Falcon starts. Without going to page two, there's some more detail on there where you can see when our commissions meet up, when their commission meets, and this and that. The other alternative here is option B, which is to utilize a commission-to-commission process. And it was unclear to me whether their chair seemed to be in favor of a commission-to-commission process and not doing a committee process. So I think that's an option. Originally that's probably where I had been, but I thought that the committee process allows more people, or more time for people to get into it, and as long as we have open committee meetings where the public and other commissioners can be involved, I think that was a point their chair made, was he wanted the Oregon commissioners who are not a member of the three to be able to be there and participate, he said. So there's two options there. I don't know that we have to decide here at this table today which one we prefer. I don't know that we need to pick our three people. Maybe other commissioners would like to do that, but I'm open to either way. When you get down to the long term, the big question at the bottom of the page there, this is a very complicated matter. So, but the Oregon folks said they were interested in a process that ends by midsummer so it could optimize the current terms of their people. They had said four people were going to be leaving and they'd like to be involved in it. You could do that via a joint committee process, or you could do it as a commission-to-commission process. It seems that is a real condensation of an enormous amount of work in such a short period of time. The other option is to take a full year to do it, because for all of these options, for example, the upriver, lower river sharing idea issue that's out there is very complicated, and we would want the staff to do a pros and cons analysis and look at different options, and that seems something that's that rushing along is pretty difficult to do. So, again, I don't know that we need to decide here on option A or B in the long run. One option would be just to send this to the Oregon folks and see what they think and decide on a conference call later. But if other commissioners came here this morning thinking we should make a decision and let Oregon know what we want, you know, that's certainly an entitlement of everybody at the front table here. I won't go ahead and go through the rest of this detail stuff. You could, if you want to, we can get into it, but it's a little calendar playing and a little more detail about what I just mentioned.
Mr. Griggle?
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. I think all commissioners should take this away, and we can have discussions about it and make a decision at a future conference call. And again, too, maybe our chair, I believe in the past, our Fish Committee chair communicated with the chair in Oregon. He could share this with them and see what if there's any response from them before we decide in which option that we go to. But we could take care of that on a conference call down the road.
Mr. Carpenter?
I lost some sleep last night thinking about the best pathway forward. I'll be candid. I don't like that part. But I... about 4:30 this morning, I had a brain cramp that suggested that maybe I should put forward another idea that for consideration by the commission is to, with this Columbia River issue, hand it over to staff in the short term to review and to come back to us with a couple of options. I think they also could engage with the Oregon staff and drill down on this in some fashion collectively and get back to us so we have the ability to sort it out both from a scientific perspective and a policy perspective. So we could talk about it. I'm just throwing that out for consideration. Ron hasn't fallen over his chair yet, so it's so anyway, that's just another thought I want to put on the table.
Yes.
I just have a question for Commissioner Carpenter. When you say turn it over, you're talking about actual content and recommendation for any revisions, not what the process is.
Oh, no, certainly not.
No. Thank you.
No, just to sort it out and engage with the Oregon staff and come back to us with a couple, three options for our consideration and our ability to sort out. That's
thank
what
you.
I was talking about.
I like that idea.
Good. Mr. Chairman?
Just what, did Bill, you want to respond to that first?
Let me just say that's already in here. So there, and Commissioner Baker brought that up on Thursday. So when you look at page 2, you'll see a lot about commission director, staff involvement, staff preparation of options for analysis on a particular issue. There ought to be several options to look at, not just one. And we ought to have a full analysis of the various options. So if you're talking about analysis of the ideas and not the process, I'm 100% with you on that, particularly for the long term.
I just got this, Commissioner McIsaac, so I didn't have a chance to read it all. And I don't want to lose the emphasis of the fact I lost sleep coming up with that.
Bill?
Commissioner Carpenter's loss of sleep fits staff's loss of sleep pretty well, too. We're certainly very interested in, for the issues that you identify for us, and that's key. We don't want to get out ahead of you, but for the issues that you identify for us, we're very interested in taking an analysis of the alternatives approach. And we feel we can certainly come up with a reasonable range of alternatives, bounce those off of you, see if you agree whether or not they're reasonable, then go ahead and hopefully in concert with our Oregon counterparts provide you with a pretty good analysis of the both the pros and cons of each of the alternatives for any particular idea. But it would be very awkward for staff if you asked us to choose which of the ideas you wanted that treatment for. If you can give us a sense of which of those ideas and maybe even a sense of the priority for those ideas, that would help us immensely.
I don't disagree with that. There's a lot of them out there. I don't, from my perspective, I'm not sure that I could do that today, but I think that I suspect you'd want to engage the Fish Committee with this as well so we can come up with a meaningful process and then bring it back to the entire commission.
we were sort of assuming, because you really only saw the full list of ideas at this meeting or just prior, we were sort of assuming it would take you as the commission several weeks or until the next public meeting to sort of sort through and come up with which ideas you wanted to sort of prioritize for us to work on.
Your assumption is accurate.
My comments were just conceptually, and I think we can sort out the next steps, Bill, with you but and Ron.
We would definitely appreciate being asked to provide alternatives for several of these. I think it'll help stakeholders understand a lot about where you finally choose to come down on each of those issues, if they can see the range of options that you had in front of you as you're making your decision.
Thank you.
Sounds like a plan. Yes.
Just to buttress what staff has said and Commissioner Carpenter, on page 404 it says on this matter, each commission decides on a list of ideas for changes in the current policy and regulations to be explored, including a range of options for each change alternative as appropriate. Staff from each state work together to complete an initial analysis of the pros and cons of each change alternative and option. So that's for pathway two. That's for the long range. And so I completely agree with Commissioner Carpenter that maybe a fish committee choosing of the list. I don't think it's appropriate for the staff to take a look at the list, which they compiled, nicely compiled, the list of ideas they heard in October 15th. We were waiting to hear what additional ideas Oregon brought forward on Thursday. We did not hear too many. I don't think it's appropriate. Those are policy decisions. Should we look into a change in the allocation, yes or no? Should we look at a change in the upriver, lower river allocation of spring and summer Chinook, yes or no? What kind of a change in the allocation between lower river and upriver should you look at? That's a policy decision. Once the analysis gets together, then we need the pros from Dover to come in and do the good job that they've done this past year on the analysis, in from my perspective. So I think that's in complete agreement with what we've heard.
All right. Consensus? Yep.
One last thing on Mr. Graybill's comment about this going to the fish committee chair and the fish committee chairs in each state. Is there any objection to showing this to the full Oregon Commission, their director and their commission, as opposed to some subset of the Oregon Commission? I think sooner or later we need an agreement in process between Oregon and Washington at the full commission level on what the process is. I don't know that there's utility in even starting the process until we have agreement on what the process is.
Yes, Commissioner Pagan.
I'm not sure if we're going to vote on that question, but I wanted to point out that I've also thought a lot about this. I didn't lose sleep over it, thankfully, but I have thought a lot about it. And I think that really what this is Don going ahead and putting down on paper what our two options are, which is either we meet with the commission in Bonk or the whole, all of us, or we send ambassadors to do the initial negotiating. I love the idea of having the staff do the negotiating, but I think it's been pointed out that that's not fair nor appropriate. It'd be really nice, though, for somebody to come back and say, hey, we took care of it. Don't worry anymore. So I think we should give this to the Oregon Commission, and I think that at least on how we decide how we make these policy decisions, it makes a lot of sense to me for the chairs of the fish committee to talk to each other just initially and get back to us at our next conference call. But I would ask that that we get this decided and get it going now. And so I would like to see this, in terms of future meeting planning, being a topic that we discuss at our conference call and having us have taken the time to look at it. Just one more thing for my vote. I think that big commissions sitting down and talking to each other is a good thing. I enjoyed meeting them yesterday. I don't think it's very productive when you get to nuts and bolts. So I'll be looking to probably support a smaller group of us going forward, and also will not be interested in being on that group, just so you know. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yes, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks to Don for putting this forward. I completely agree with Commissioner Baker. We need to come to an agreement on the process moving forward. And I would urge my fellow commissioners to, I think it's important that we agree unanimously, at least on the process moving forward, because what we don't want to have is, as we move forward and if we do make changes, criticism or discontent within the commission about the process. That's the last thing we need. I mean, clearly, I can envision that we won't be all in agreement about changes, if any, that we make to the policy. But I think it is crucial that we are unanimous on a process moving forward.
Heard is if there's no objection, I'll have Tammy forward this document that Commissioner McIsaac created to Chair Finley, and I will follow up with a phone discussion with Chair Finley, as they don't have a chair of their fish committee to the best of my recall. So any objection to that?
So we are of one.
All right.
Okay, moving on to other items under future meeting planning discussion. Anything? Yes, Commissioner Baker.
I think this is where this fits. This is something that I'm just asking that my fellow commissioners consider. When sometime last year, we went from having private committee meetings to open committee meetings. And the just to jump to the end of this, I would like to ask us to think about interest group participation in those committee meetings and what's appropriate and what isn't. This is a little bit of a sensitive topic, but at least from my perspective, we opened those committee meetings up in response to what I believed was very valid concern that the public didn't know what was going on in those meetings, which are primarily staffed to commission work sessions. And they're very valuable time for us to really get down to the nitty-gritty on some issues. In some cases, one that I've observed, which is the Fish Committee, and one that I sit on, which is the Wildlife Committee, people have done what I would do if I was in that position, which is bring up issues to the committee that are on their mind in the committee meeting, interest groups and other people. That's what those committee meetings are for. And I think that I would like to ask us to consider, maybe not discuss now, ratcheting back about a bit and asking our involved stakeholders to be there as observers, to be there to ask for us to ask questions if there's a burning issue, and also to be there if they think that something was misstated or wrong in the committee meeting. They can come tell us about it later. But we've had people come and add issues when we don't have time for what's on our plate already. And then we've had interest groups in the Fish Committee actually start talking to each other. And so that has broadened the purpose of these meetings, basically to become mini commission meetings, more than I think at least I intended. So I'm just asking, unless there's discussion now, I'm just asking you all to think about that and let's figure it out later.
Commissioner Grable.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker. It's become apparent that these committee meetings have gotten sort of out of control in that respect that you described. And I think it is up to the committee chairs to decide how they want to move forward on that. And so I really appreciate you bringing this up. And then I urge committee chairs to consider how, if they would like to make any changes, to share that with fellow commissioners and committee members.
Yeah, why don't I offer up this as a suggestion then, that just as you said, Commissioner, that the chairs think this through and put forth their thoughts, and then how they want their respective committees to operate, and then we'll share that next time.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other items before we move in? Yes, Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If this is to take a look at the December agenda that's in our packet, maybe just a couple of comments on that. The Fish Committee meeting is scheduled to meet at 4 o'clock. It has the Willapaw Bay policy matter, which I think is consistent with our discussion yesterday. Columbia River policy review, it says progress report on comprehensive evaluation. Maybe that ought to be changed to an initial discussion of the list of ideas, as we just talked about. There's also an interest in meeting earlier than 4 o'clock. I know that there's travel problems perhaps on that, but 2 o'clock in the afternoon might be a more thorough time to get in what could be some lengthy discussions on both of those two. When we get around to the next page, on item number 9 is the Willapaw Bay on the main agenda, and I think we talked about displacing that to the Fish Committee. So there's some time savings there. I have a question for staff about item number 8, briefing by the HSRG, as to what is that about and what's the genesis of that. Item number 11 is the North of Falcon policy business, and I wondered if it would be possible to broaden the description of that agenda item so that it could include any emerging issues, if there are any. And I think that's all I had on that. I'll just quickly blurt out the couple of matters I see on the year at a glance. I think in January we see policy 3620, the Columbia River Salmon policy. Maybe that would be a discussion of 2019 concurrency and long-term adjustments. So this all depends a little bit on what we hear from Oregon as their preferred process. But policy C-3620 might also show up again in February and March as well. And that was my input.
Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding Commissioner McIsaac's comments on the Fish Committee in December, I guess, Ron, I would ask you if you feel that Chad Herring and other staff will have some relevant information to discuss regarding Willapaw Bay at that time, or is that a little bit too aggressive?
Thank you, Chair Smith. Commissioner Carpenter, I think that we'll have plenty of information as we go forward. I'd rather, like we have done in the Columbia River Policy Comprehensive Review, to give that to you in bite-sized pieces instead of just bringing it all in one lump. The full commission would get that at the end, but to be able to give the Fish Committee those bite-sized pieces, I think, is more appropriate.
Thank you. That's perfect.
I did, Commissioner McIsaac asked a question about the HSRG presentation that's scheduled. For commission reminder, those newer commissioners, HSRG has come before you as a body to give updates on guiding principles and recommendations in the past, give their assessment of what they've been working on, and provide the commission some oversight and background about where they've been. This was scheduled for August. We were in the midst of the hatchery and fishery reform policy discussions at that time, and I asked Tammy to postpone this. This is a rescheduling of that. We've been working with their vice chair, Andy Appleby, and hope that he can come and give a presentation to all of you about HSRG and what's been going on in their world.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Beneficial. Any other discussion on the future meeting? Hearing none.